mostly brief. One, I just do a brief introduction to topological strings. And another thing is this R symmetry. And anomaly. So this is something I haven't explained, so I want to, this will be perhaps the focus of today, but I also introduce the definition of mirror symmetry. And if I have time, I'll start discussing linear sigma model. So this will be a big subject, so I will, of course, not finish. I just, even if I have time to talk about it, I will, this will be just a very, very first introduction. Okay, so last time we have discussed this topological field theory, but in two dimensions. But the main use of this is in the context of string theory, topological string theory. So it is different. Topological field theory will be used as a part of it. So this will be a very brief introduction, because this is not so much the focus of this present semester. But this is actually something very important, not just as not just from a purely mathematical point of view, but also from physics point of view. This is something, some very much powerful tool to compute something important, even for the physical string theory. And this is a topological field theory coupled to topological gravity. So what is topological gravity? This is the theory of theory of 2D gravity with supersymmetry, scalar and global supersymmetry. It's different from supergravity, where you have spinner local supersymmetry. It's just like topological field theory. The difference is that it has gravity in it. So it has h mu nu as the variable, but there's a supersymmetry, scalar supersymmetry, and say it has some partner, and its partner is essentially zero, but zero up to diffeomorphism. LC is this Lie derivative, and then C is a bosonic vector field. It has such a multiplet. But I won't go into detail about this. There's a lot of subtleties and many different versions of it. Essentially, it has a gravity metric, 2D metric, and its partner, fermionic partner. What do you mean by couple? So you may be confused, because we have seen that topological field theory does not depend on the choice of the metric. So how can they couple? Well, it it is that the classical Lagrangian must be supersymmetric as a whole thing, and the total classical action must be supersymmetric. So this is the topological gravity action I want to write. And this is by itself invariant under the supersymmetry. Now let's look at this part. This is simply the weak rotated, covariantized, and then twisted version of this 2,2 theory. But it depends on the metric. So this has is like a delta H mu nu and T mu nu. Classically, energy momentum density is defined classically as the variation of the action with respect to the metric. And we know for topological field theory, it is given by Q commutator of something. And let me use this. This is a variation of this field, so it is epsilon chi mu nu. And S interaction, so it's not invariant. So you need to add something to cancel it. For this, let's just propose something like this. Chi mu nu g mu nu. Then this, its variation is this is invariant up to different morphism, but after you this this is different morphism part doesn't contribute for the integral, then it's just chi mu nu epsilon q of g mu nu. And this is anti-commuting, so it's just cancel. It can cancel. So this is roughly the expression for the interaction term. Actually, this is the expression for the first order term. And for the full action, you need to add higher order in chi, but this is essentially this. So it's coupled. There's an interaction term. So when you compute the correlation function, because of this fermionic symmetry, nilpotent symmetry, this is nilpotent, not nilpotent, but nilpotent up to diffeomorphism, up to gauge transformation. So you may use this localization principle to compute this correlation function. And yes. To make the action invariant. Yes. So we want. Yeah. We want this. And so the topology of two dimensional surface is just defined by genus. So it's just to put G in here. So it's like D of H mu nu of on the Riemann surface of genus G, D of chi mu nu, and D of everything else is and this H chi sector path integral for H chi sector actually reduces to, I'm simply stating the fact, I'm not giving you the detailed derivation, reduces to integral over conformal structure. Structure on the surface. Up to diffeomorphism that fixes those points x1 to xn, incertic points. And this conformal structure is in the two-dimensional case, this is the same as complex structure. So the path integral reduces to this space, which is this J complex structure, T sigma to T sigma, J squared to minus 1, integrable, modulo diffeomorphism, fixing x1 to xs. And this moduli space is finite dimensional, and it's called, say, M, G, S. And dimension, it's a complex manifold, and it has dimension 3G minus 3 plus S. So this left-hand side can be written as something G, S of some form on it, O1, X1, OS, XS. So this is a volume form on this moduli space. And actually, this is non-compact, and you can actually compactify it, and this volume form extends to the compactification. This is so-called stable compactification, also sometimes also called Dilley-Manford compactification, that includes, this is to add a singular Riemann surface, like those things. So it's where it is non-compact, it is when, say, this Riemann surface is longer and longer, so it's that's the end. That's the infinity of this space, but we simply compactify by adding the limit configuration. And the tangent space of, say, the smooth locus, so sigma x1 to xs, sigma, I mean sigma with complex structure, 1,0 part is given by some certain cohomology group on the surface. So this is a holomorphic tangent bundle, and Ox minus 1. This is the bundle whose section is such that vanishes at those xi's. And this is from the condition of dividing out by diffeo that fixes xi, or the infinitesimally dividing by the vector field that vanishes at xi. So its element is like something like this. So it's tangent sheaf and a tangent bundle, and 0,1 form, and it has suitable behavior at the insertion point. And so this, what's the volume form? This volume form, say mu1, mu2, etc., is given by the topological field theory correlation function, given by A. And then it's just mu 1 dot g, mu 2 dot g, and then and sigma with metric, well, with the conformal, actually it doesn't, actually it doesn't only depend on the conformal structure, so it's just let's just denote it by sigma, and then it's TFT. TFT meaning this twisted, weak rotated 2,2 field theory. Where this mu dot g means something like this, g v z d z bar d z. It's a two form, so it can be integrated over the Riemann surface. So one important thing is clearly this is different from ordinary correlation functions. So this is not the same as TFT correlator with at Riemann surface of genus G. Except in one case where this moduli space has zero dimension, and it is the case where genus is 0 and S is 3. Sphere with 3 marked points, where this is just a one point, namely this sphere with, say, 0, 1, infinity. There's no other complex structure than this, say, round, the one for the round sphere. In that case, it's 01, 02, 03, x1, x2, x3, genus 0, is simply the same as 01, 02, 03 for this sphere correlation function and topological field theory. So this sphere three-point function, which had special role even within topological field theory, also appears in topological string. But in general, topological string has more information than topological field theory. It has more correlators than those. In topological field theory, everything, all the information was in here. But for topological string, it's not so. Although there are certain recursion relations between among correlation functions that depends on the type of models, but in general there isn't such such very small building blocks like sphere three-point function. So this is just a brief introduction, brief words about topological string. I just don't use it essentially, so I leave it like this. But this is a very huge subject, and you're encouraged to study such things if you're interested. Okay. So now I move on to the main part, which is this R symmetry. Normally. So I remind you what was R symmetry. It may not, any given theory may not have this, but if it has, it has some transformation that corresponds to the phase rotation of the supercharge, like this. This is the vector asymmetry. And another one is axial asymmetry. And it differs in this Q minus action. So Q plus it's the same, but Q minus it's different by sign. And also Q minus bar. So we want to see whether under what condition there is such a symmetry, and there is a way to find it. It is to use superfields. So for superfields, the candidate R transformation will be for U1 vector. Say the superfield phi x theta plus minus theta bar plus minus, it transforms like e to the, suppose this is a complex field, then q v I, so suppose you have several fields alpha and phi I x e to the minus I alpha theta plus minus e to the plus I alpha theta bar plus minus. That's the vector R symmetry, the candidate for the vector R symmetry. This is because Q plus minus is like derivative with respect to theta plus minus. And this is how this kind of effect can arise when in the event that this is a symmetry. So this Q is like theta, Q is like theta derivative, so theta, phase rotation of theta corresponds to phase rotation of Q. And for the axial, it's simply to touch the action on the theta minus and theta minus bar. E to the I Q axial, possibly with some phase, and X. Oh, maybe use beta for that parameter, and minus plus I beta. Theta plus minus I beta. Okay. So we want to choose, if possible, such kind of action on in front of the field, such that the supersymmetric Lagrangian's Lagrangian is invariant. So. So I want to ask, under what condition these are symmetries of Suzy action, Lagrangian or action? So I remind you that all supersymmetric Lagrangian can be written in this way, this D term or F term or twisted F term. So this is holomorphic for chiral superfields, and this is holomorphic or twisted chiral superfield. And this can be any superfield, any expression for any superfield. Okay. So we know how this R-symmetries, candidate R-symmetry acts on those theta, and this theta, d2, d4 theta, d2 theta, d2 theta tilde, each has a certain charge under this. It transforms under this R-candidate R-symmetry. For example, d2 theta is like d theta plus minus d theta plus, and it transforms like e to the, for U1 vector, e to the minus I alpha from this, and e to the minus I alpha from that. So it has, it transforms like minus 2 I alpha. So it has charge minus 2. So let me just make a table of this charge. Charge, so charge minus 2. D4 theta, D2 theta, D2 theta tilde. And this has theta, theta plus, theta plus bar, and theta minus minus bar. They all cancel, so it has no charge. And this has minus 2, as we have just seen. And for axial, it rotates theta plus and theta minus in a different way, opposite way, so it has this. On the other hand, this D2 tilde theta is like this. So this time, under vector, it's there, it's invariant. But for the axial, it's minus charge minus 2. So this S is invariant if this integrand has the charge that cancels that charge from the measure. So the scalar potential, we want this to be invariant because the measure is invariant. The superpotential, we want this to have vector charge 2 to cancel this minus 2 and axial charge 0. For this, it's just the axial and vector exchanged one. Okay, let me take some examples like nonlinear sigma models and Landau-Ginzburg models and see what's the condition. What kind of QV and QA these charges for the superfield you need to assign. So nonlinear sigma model, the action was, well, although it's not so ideal expression, but it can be written as this. And for this purpose of just looking at this classical symmetry, this is enough. You can use this safely. And both U1 vector and U1 axial are classical symmetries. By assigning Q qvi equal to qxli equal to 0, by not rotating the superfield itself. So what does that correspond to? This corresponds to this action for you. For the component field, it just doesn't rotate the field. For the fermions, it's just to this minus I alpha. This, for this, it's complex conjugates. It's complex conjugate rotation. Okay. For the axial R symmetry, phi I doesn't rotate, and psi I rotates, but now in a different way, minus plus I beta. Opposite way, plus and minus I beta. So at the classical level, both a nonlinear sigma model has both symmetries. Okay, let's now consider the Landau-Ginzburg model. Say, okay, this has this thing. Again, it's described by a set of chiral superfields. Maybe I have just considered one variable case, but you can consider multivariable case. So that's the action. And U1 axial invariant, this is U1 axial invariant, by assigning Q axial charge for the field to be zero. Namely, for the component field is like this. Oh, yes. Because this, we want this to have zero axial charge, so let's not rotate. It's invariant under U1 vector symmetry if and only if one can find some charge qvi such that this has charge 2, namely under the rotation, phase rotation, qvi alpha phi I, it has charge 2, namely it rotates like this. So this phase will cancel this phase. But this can be true only for some special kind of holomorphic superpotential. And such a superpotential that allows such assignment of charge is called, W is called quasi-homogeneous or simply homogeneous. For example, for one variable case, phi W phi to be monomial is a homogeneous case. In this case, you can just assign Q to be 1/2/n, then it does this. Okay. E to the I 2/n alpha phi to the n is e to the I 2 alpha phi to the n. This is this. But if it is not homogeneous, say, add another term like phi n plus, say, phi, then it's not homogeneous. So you want vector is not a symmetry. You don't have a vector type R symmetry. Okay. But even in such a case, some subgroup, non-trivial subgroup of U1 can be a symmetry. Let's take this example. So we want some subgroup of U1, e to the I alphas, such that superpotential has charge 2. So let's take that example. So suppose phi transforms like e to the IQ alpha phi, then the superpotential transforms to e to the INQ alpha phi plus e to the IQ alpha phi. And we want this to be e to the 2i alpha phi to the n plus phi. Is this possible? And yes, it is possible for some special value for alpha. So we, from this, equating this, we need Q to be, we need e to the IQ alpha to be e to the 2i alpha. That means, okay, let me just say this. And from the equating from this, it must be the same also as e to the INQ alpha. So we want to find some Q and alpha that satisfy it. And right. Okay, yes. From this you can set Q equal to 2, then this is satisfied. But then this isn't satisfied unless you give special value for alpha. So if you assume Q equal to 2, then it's I n 2i n alpha is e to the I 2i alpha, or e to the 2n minus 1 I alpha is 1. But there are non-trivial solutions to this. E to the I alpha equal to 2 pi I over 2n minus 1 times any integer L. So that set of this will make a cycloid group of order 2n minus 1. So this subgroup, cyclic subgroup of U1, is a symmetry. So even if U1, the whole U1 may not be a symmetry, it's usually some subgroup is a symmetry. Okay. Are there questions? Okay, so this is a classical story. Namely, we have just analyzed the condition for this classical action to be invariant. But in order for these to be a symmetry of the quantum theory, we need the path integral measure to be invariant also. So sometimes it fails, and that's the case with anomaly. So let us examine this. Namely, examine the path integral measure and its transformation property under this R transformation. The main focus will be this nonlinear sigma model, where you consider this phase rotation or this phase rotation. So they symmetries in quantum theory. Namely, it is the same question as d phi. The path integral measure invariant. So that's the question we are asking. Okay. For this, before doing this a complicated example, let me just do the toy model. It is a simple Dirac fermion. Coupled to gauge field. So let E be a rank N vector bundle, complex vector bundle, over some Riemann surface sigma, with Hermitian metric and connection, say A, Hermitian connection A. And we consider Dirac fermion with values in this E. So this E is a model for this case. For this case, E is this fallback of t 1,0 of x, or this is sometimes written as t sub x, where x is the target space. X is the target. Oh, sorry, in this case I have assuming the target space to be a Kähler manifold. So we consider Dirac fermion with values in E. So psi plus minus is a section of the bundle E tensored with spinner bundle, and this is a section of the dual bundle, or this is the same thing as the dual by using the metric tensor spinner bundle. And the spinner bundle is simply, this is what I wrote square root k some time ago, and this is its complex conjugate. And the action is just I times sigma psi minus bar dz bar psi minus plus psi plus bar dz psi plus and d squared z. Well, this D is a covariant derivative. So this is N times N matrix. This is this. And it is Hermitian connection, so A, which is AZ bar DZ bar plus AZ, dz is take value in the unitary Lie algebra of the unitary group. Well, it is anti-Hermitian. This is with respect to some orthonormal frame of this bundle E. But anyway, this is the action. And we are interested in this theory, the correlation functions in this theory. So this appears in this theory as a part of it, namely the part for the fermions. Although this has four fermion terms, but for this discussion of anomaly, it doesn't matter. So let's say what the path integral measure is. What you do is to decompose. So this is an infinite dimensional space, vector space, and we decompose it with respect to the eigenvectors or with respect to this Dirac operator, these things. And especially we separate the field into two parts, zero mode part and non-zero mode part. So this is zero mode part and this is non-zero mode part. And do the same for all fields. And the path integral can be decomposed into the following way. So the number of zero modes can be many, several. There are several zero modes, but usually it's finitely many. So it's something like this. And then the other parts, maybe I should write it in a different way. So this is still an infinite dimensional integration measure, but we arrange it in this way. The reason for this is that this is infinite dimensional, so when in the actual computation, what we often do is to regularize it, namely replace it by a finite dimensional integral, or cut off some infinite parts. And the way to cut off is determined by this kinetic term, namely with respect to the eigenvalues of this Dirac operator. And there are four kinds. Psi plus psi plus bar psi minus bar. And the and there's this zero and nothing below. Well, zero and everything else. And it is actually, it's Dirac operator, so it's like here and it's extending in both directions. But let's first imagine, let's just, those things in this direction, let's just put it above. Then there are levels like this. And what we do is to cut off above some level, cut off modes above some level. So this is why you just arrange things like this. And then this will not participate in this cutting off procedure. And this will participate, but as we now see, this doesn't. This is the part that does not break the symmetry. So we will focus on this. Okay. What's important here is that these parts will be paired. paired by this Dirac operator dz, and these two are paired by this Dirac operator dz bar. Maybe I should have said originally it's like randomly random spectrum, but it's actually paired. And under phase rotation, under any phase rotation, the phase rotation of some mode is cancelled by this phase rotation of its complex conjugate partner. So these parts will be invariant under any phase rotation. Rotation that rotates e to the psi and psi, this and this opposite, okay, oppositely, and also plus minus and minus bar oppositely. And if you look at this, this is exactly the property. This is this phase rotation we will consider obey such condition. Psi plus and psi plus bar rotating oppositely, and minus bar. But this part is not paired. Dirac operator acts as zero on those modes. So not paired. And it can be not invariant under this. So let's just keep this. So in this, also in this toy model, let's call U1 vector and U1 axial the phase rotation like this and like this, and see how the measure transforms. So under U1 vector, namely psi plus minus 2 under this, the measure rotates. And how does it rotate? It's like e to the psi 0 plus is minus I alpha, minus I, and number is n plus alpha, and psi minus is again minus, okay, let's just write I alpha and minus n plus, minus n minus, and plus n plus, plus n plus bar, and plus n minus bar. And then this. But actually, it's a fermionic rotation, so if you are being careful, you have to put minus in front. That's the rotation of this measure. And unless this thing is zero, this is not, the measure is not invariant. But as we will see, this case, it is zero. Under axial rotation, this is this. Under this, oh sorry, this transforms like this. This transforms to e to the minus I beta. Now, psi plus has charge minus, so a minus n plus. Now, psi minus has charge plus, so it's plus n minus. And this has charge plus, so this, and then minus n minus, so on. That's the transformation under these two phase rotations. So we are interested in these numbers, n plus minus and n bar plus minus. So that means to understand what the zero modes are. So psi minus zero modes are the kernel of this Dirac operator, which is a map from the section of E tensor square root k to 0,1 form with values in the same bundle. And this is simply the holomorphic section, H0, of this bundle. H0 means holomorphic bundles, holomorphic sections. Okay. Now, what's psi minus bar zero mode? They live in the only difference is that this now regarded as the value as taking values in this dual bundle. So it's just H zero of this the dual bundle times spinner bundle. Now what is psi plus zero modes? This is a kernel of this Dirac operator from this section of this bundle to 1,0 form of this. This is a bar here, because it's plus, so it's a negative spinner bundle, right. And this thing is the same as, this operator is DZ bar operator, dagger, from, this can be identified as 0,1 form with values in this bundle, because K tensor, this is k, like k bar tensor square root k is square root k bar. So using that, identify this with this. To again, using the similar identification, it's just this. Yes. Here you have used k is like k tensor k bar. Okay. So kernel of the adjoint of that operator, and this is simply H 0,1, or the co-kernel of this of that operator, and this is simply 0,1 e squared k. or in other words, it's also called death. The Shiv Pramoja. And Psi plus Va Zeramos, it simply replace E by E dual. And maybe it's, let me just say a few words about this case and this case. This is actually dual. We identify as the dual space to H1 of E tensor square root K. And this is the dual, so-called dual of this. Right. It is dual because you can take the pairing of this and this. It's E tensor E star can be just paired to make a scalar, and square root K times square root K just give us 1,0 form. And this is like 0,1 form, so it will give us a volume form. And if this is holomorphic, and if you shift by an exact 0,1 form, it doesn't change the value, so it's a good pairing, and it's also known as a non-degenerate pairing. So, if you count just the number, this number is the same as the number of psi minus bar Zeramos is the number the same as the number of psi plus Zeramos, and the number of psi minus Zeramos is the same as the number of psi plus bar Zeramos. So we have seen that n minus is n plus bar, which is the same as dimension of h zero of e tensor square root k. And n minus bar is the same as n plus, which is the dimension of h1 of sigma e tensor square root k. So we got the number to judge whether this is anomalous or not. So let's first look at vector rotation. Now you see that you have the combination like n plus bar minus n minus that will be zero by this. And also the other combination is n minus bar minus n plus, which is by this zero. So we see that this the measure. So under U1 vector, the measure is invariant. So it's not anomalous. Okay. But for U1 axial, the cancellation doesn't occur. It actually adds up, doubles the number, because you see the combination n minus plus n plus bar, and also minus n plus minus n minus bar. It's just twice of these numbers. So this changes to e to the minus 2i alpha n, beta n, and this where n is the 2 times that one minus 2 times that one. Oh, not 2 times, sorry. N is this number, sorry. Dimension, 2 is taken care of here, so it's dimension of this minus dimension this. And this is by index theorem or Riemann-Roch theorem at the Singer theorem or Riemann-Roch theorem is written as an integral over the trace of a curvature with some appropriate numerical factor, where FA is the curvature. So it's like dA plus A squared. And it's also known as the first Chern class of this bundle E. Anyway, in two dimensions, this anomaly, called axial anomaly, is simply the trace of the curvature. This can be viewed in a different way. There's actually a local version of expressing this anomaly. So you can construct so this is the side remark. So you can define a current JA, current corresponding to this U1 axial anomalous symmetry. And this thing, the fact that I have just said is this divergence of this current integrated is non-zero. And it's minus 2 or minus 2 above. And sigma trace I over 2 pi FA. Or in other words, actually this has a local version. This is actually true even point by point. DJA is minus 2 trace I 2 pi over FA. Or in other words, minus C1 of E with respect to this connection A. So this also, this is another way to express this anomaly. But this only tells us this, and from here to here, you have to do a more harder computation. But in order to just to see what's the number here or what's the right bundle is, this is the quickest way to see that anomaly. Okay, let's go back to the nonlinear sigma model. This thing. So this is essentially the same transformation. So let me hide this. Maybe I can. So back to the actual model, non-linear sigma model, with Kähler target. X target space, which is Kähler. And then this model has fermion, Dirac fermion with values in this vector bundle, G sub X. And its first term class is the pullback of the first term class of tangent bundle of X, which is sometimes called first term class of X. Sometimes I just write it like this, and first simply say term class of X. And this is, as defined there, it's simply a trace. Trace I over 2 pi of this curvature R for the tangent bundle. But this is a trace, and if you just look at how the indices are contracted, this is simply the Ricci tensor. Maybe I should say minus 1 to pi Ricci tensor. Ricci curvature. So Ricci curvature has two indices, I, J bar, DZ, I, DZ. If you write it, then it's just put this I. Okay, so first of all, as we have seen, that U1 vector is not anomalous. Okay, and this U1 axial can be anomalous depending on this thing or that thing, the first term class of X. U1 axial can be anomalous. Actually, it's anomaly free. There's no anomaly if and only if this first term class vanishes. If and only if this first term class vanishes. Namely, it is Calabi-Yau. I define Calabi-Yau just by this topological condition. Well, sometimes people call Calabi-Yau for Ricci flat. Then, of course, if it is Ricci flat, this means that. And also, if this is true, Yau has shown that there is a metric that such that the Ricci tensor is zero. Okay, so only when X is Calabi-Yau, U1 axial R symmetry is there. And, for example, you can do the B twist. But as in the discussion of vector symmetry for Landau-Ginzburg model, even though the full U1 axial may not be a symmetry, some subgroup could be a symmetry. For example, sometimes C1 of X belongs to some capital N, not 1, some N times H2 of XV. In such a case, this number is n times integer. Well, that anomaly is, this is twice 2n times integer. So in that case, this minus, this 5 star C1 of X, sigma belongs to two n times integer. And in such a case, e to the minus this anomaly part, beta, this is e to the minus 2i beta n times some integer, say k. And this can be 1 if beta is of the form 2pi over 2n times some integer l. In other words, e to the I beta is e to the 2 pi I over 2 n l. And that will form a psi group of order 2 n. So this subgroup is anomaly free. So if we have a U1 charge, U1 symmetry, then you can classify the states with respect to the charge. And if it is U1, it is charges takes values in, say, integers, so it introduces Z grading. But if the symmetry is cyclic group, then it's simply the charge's representation of this cyclic group, so it's Z sub 2n grading in that case. So such a grading will be there in the quantum theory, but not Z grading for this axial part. So let me give you an example. Let's consider x is cp n, n minus 1. Then first term cost of x is n times some h. H is a generator of h2 of cp n minus 1 z. So-called hyperplane class, and in such in this case it is indeed of this form. So C2n is anomaly free. Okay. Okay. Let's summarize. Rough summary. So I list some theories and say under what condition you have, and for which case it has these symmetries. So Calabi-Yau nonlinear sigma model, Calabi-Yau sigma model. Yes, it has both U1 axial and U1 vector symmetry. And nonlinear sigma model with first Chern class non-zero, then it has U1 vector, but no U1 axial. Depending on this thing, U1 axial may have cyclic subgroup as a symmetry, but the whole U1A is not a symmetry. And if Landa, consider Landau-Ginzburg model with Calabi-Yau target, it must be a non-compact Calabi-Yau because it must have a holomorphic function on it. Usually we consider Landau-Ginzburg model on, say, C to the N or C star to the N, so it's automatic, with such that inhomogeneous super potential, then it has no vector R symmetry, but there is a U1 axial symmetry. And if you consider Landau-Ginzburg model with Talabiao target and homogeneous superpotential, then it has both symmetries. Yes. Okay, so it doesn't have to be phase. Let me just clarify. So any transformation, holomorphic transformation, so when I say homogeneous or inhomogeneous, I actually slightly generalized. So homogeneous or quasi-homogeneous. By this, I mean, so the target space is X, and there's a one-parameter family of transformation, holomorphic transformation, one-parameter group of holomorphic transformations. Such that, okay, this is e to the I, 2i alpha, or maybe w of f alpha of argument is simply e to the I, 2i alpha. Then this R symmetry can be defined as phi x theta plus minus, theta bar plus minus, to the f alpha of phi of x e to the minus I alpha, by this way. So an example is, say, superpotential e to the minus y, where y is some periodic variable, then y shifted by y minus 2i alpha. That will do this. Not phase multiplication, but in this case it's shift. Okay. So this is, by the way, so-called Liouville potential. Okay. Before taking this near symmetry, let me just make some comments on this R symmetry after twisting to topological field theory. And this tells us something important about the quantum number of vacua. So, after twisting, so I remind you that, so let's just focus for concreteness, let's just consider a twist. I remind you that after a twist of say nonlinear sigma model, this belongs to phi star of tx, Before it was tensed with this, but it's gone after twisting. Okay. And psi minus bar was simply this dual tensor K. And psi plus was this tensor K bar. So you don't have any square root. We don't have spinners after twisting. Now its zero mode is now H zero of simply this, no square root. Its zero mode is this tensor K, and its dual. Since you have already K, you don't need K here to do this. And from this zero mode is H1 of phi star dx, and for this it's just H1 of phi star dx dual K. And it is dual to H0 of phi star dx. So again, n minus is the same as n plus bar, and n plus n minus bar is the same as n plus. But the number has changed because we don't have any more tensor square root k. And the anomaly is, so n1, n minus is n plus bar, is dimension h0 and phi star tx, and n plus and n minus bar is dimension h1. And if you take the difference, that's the one that appears in this axial anomaly. It is I equal to 0, 1, minus 1 to the I, dimension HI. And this is simply, again, Riemann-Roch or Atiyah-Singer or Riemann-Roch. C1 of phi star T. Okay. The general formula is just this, Chern character and Todd class of T sigma. And what it is simply, in this case, simply C1 of plus rank 1/2 rank phi star Tx times C1 of T sigma. And rank, this is of course the dimension of x. So that's the anomaly formula for the for axial symmetry after twisting. And it is, let me just write it here, it's just phi star c1 of x plus dimension x, and this will give us just the Euler number, which is 2 minus 2g, and divided by 2 it's like 1 minus g. So that's the formula for this axial anomaly. In fact, it is minus 2 times this thing as before. Now you notice that this is non-zero even if Calabi-Yau, even if first term class vanishes. So axial asymmetry is anomalous even for Calabi-Yau after twisting. But this is actually not something bad, but actually something useful. So it can be, it can tell us which correlation functions are non-zero. So this is called selection rule. Selection rule. So let's consider this topological correlation function. And this is non-zero only when this product of operators includes the fermion zero mode. Remind you that this path integral measure for the fermion is separated into two parts, zero mode part and non-zero mode part. And zero mode part cannot appear in the action, at least naively. Actually, there is something in the action which has four fermion terms, and it has some effect, but let's just ignore it. Then, if you don't have enough number of psi, then by using this rule of fermion integral, it vanishes. O's must have enough, the right number of zero modes in order to, for this to be non-zero. And this requires, in particular, this requires this U1 axial charge of O1 through OS, product must be 2 times this anomaly, phi star C1x sigma plus dimension x 1 minus g. Okay? So in the case where the target is not Calabia like CPN, then it tells you for given operators which degree, which homotopy type or which topological type of the map can contribute to this correlation function. And in the case where it is Calabia, it doesn't depend on the topological type of the map. So it can only tell whether it's non-zero or zero for a given genus and given operator. So it can be a sum of various topological types. But for other case, like CPN, you actually select only one topological type can contribute for a given correlation function. You can use this anomalous symmetry this way. Sorry, I couldn't hear. Oh, yes, you can use that also. In that case, you simply don't have this part. Okay, another use of it is to read or find out the quantum number of the ground state. So last time I have explained you the one-to-one correspondence between supersymmetric ground states and the chiral ring elements. And we can use this to read what the charges of the states, not given if you know the charges of these operators. So I remind you, state operator correspondence. So just draw a Riemann surface of topological of the topology of a disk with a very long disk, a long cigar, and let's insert some operator or omega. Suppose we consider nonlinear sigma models, then this corresponds to this Durham cohomology group, element of the Durham cohomology group, and you get a state here. as a result of past integration over the interior region. So the question is, what is the R charge, the eigenvalue of U1 axial or vector R symmetry of the state, if you know the charge of this operator or the field. Now let's start with the simpler case of vector R symmetry, and QV is given by the current integrated over this boundary circle S1 applied to this thing. And since this is anomaly free, even after twisting, even after twisting, it's anomaly free, so it's conserved. Now what you do is, again, this contour deformation. If this is closed, you can deform the contour, and then finally you can just go around the small contour at around the insertion point. So QV acting on O omega just by contour deformation simply contour integral around the small circle at the insertion point of O omega. And that is the definition of infinitesimal vector action on this thing. And if omega is a P, Q form of X, then the corresponding operator can be written as we have seen some time ago. Can be written in this way. Replace this dzi by psi minus I and dz bar j bar by psi plus bar j bar. And you can read the R charge. It has U1 vector charge, since psi minus is minus 1, it has 2 p minus 1s, and psi plus bar is plus 1, so it has q 1s, so it's minus p plus q. And for later use, let me just measure axial charge. It is psi minus has opposite signs, so plus 1 times p plus plus 1 times q, so it's p plus q. So this will be used later, but for now, this matters. So what we conclude is that this state has the same R charge as the operator, which is minus p plus q o omega, if omega is P comma Q form. Okay. Now let's consider the more interesting case, which is this anomalous thing. Okay, so this is again expressed in terms of this current. And and it is anomalous, so you do not expect this to be conserved. And it is actually conserved in a flat region if you have a Calabi-Yau target. If you are in the flat region, there is no effect of twisting. But in general, it's not conserved, so the effect is just this. Anomaly equation is, the local version of this anomaly equation is this. Plus 1/2 dimension x and first chunk loss of sigma. Let me just first chunk loss x, chunk loss of this and this. This is this equation. Okay. And so let me just apply this. And then we can't anymore deform the contour because it's not closed. It changes if you change the contour. But you can trace the change. Yes. Okay, it's just to, let's just do this. So JA this. And we can write it like this S1JA minus this small contour JA plus the small contour JA and then O omega. And this part is by Stokes' theorem. It's simply DJA of this region, excluding those tip, small circle near the tip. And use this anomaly equation. And this will be using this anomaly equation. It's simply this thing, phi star C1 of x, plus 1/2 dimension x, c1 of sigma. And this is indeed a bad integral. This is open Riemann surface. It can change widely if you change this Riemann surface, just change the map. So, as we expected, this doesn't behave nicely. But if x is Calabi-Yau, this term vanishes. And this term, just give us some number, because we have chosen this geometry to be of this geometry, flat in here, and then any metric in here. But this integral doesn't depend on the choice of the metric. And if x is Calabi-Yau, then this is zero. So the only effect is from the last term, and the last term give us first chunk loss of this hemisphere is 1, because the first chunk loss of the double sphere is 2. So, and this is 1. So let me write. This part will give us that number, p plus q, and this part will give us minus dimension x, just that. So qa of O omega is p plus q minus dimension x for Calabi-Yau case. For non-Calabi-Yau, we do not even expect to have charge. Yes. I haven't told you about choice of vacuum. simply had so far talked about the anomaly free part. And yes, you're asking after that? Yes. And for CPN, yes, a choice of vacuum will break Z sub 2n to Z2. Just like Landau-Ginzburg model of some type, and also just like four-dimensional super-yamnils. N equal to 1 super-yamnils. And there's a reason for this similarity. But anyway, let me summarize. So I just denote the R charges. Okay, U1 vector charge, U1 axial charge of this H, P, Q form. The operator corresponding to this thing, it has minus B plus Q and P plus Q, minus dimension X. Okay, and P and Q can range from 0, 1 to dimension X. So this is actually symmetric in positive and negative direction. And sometimes we usually draw something called Hodge diamond. It's a plot of numbers, of Hodge number, which is this dimension of this P, Q form. So 0, 0 is usually 1, 1, 0, 0, 1. Say, for example, threefold case. 1, 1, 2, 0, 0, 2, 3, 0, 2, 1. So for the threefold case, it's this size. And this is the vector R charge for the ground state. And this is the axial charge for the ground state. Okay. Indeed, I will perhaps not have time to talk about linear sigma model, but let's take a break and I continue, say, 3:10 or 3:15, and I will describe the definition of mirror symmetry and some examples.